If I asked you, what do you think is the most talked about, most thought about question in the world today? What do you think that would be? What would your answer be? Is God real? Is Jesus real? Was there really a crucifixion? How can I be sure? And if I'm really a Christian, can I lose my salvation? Well, that last one, can I lose my salvation, is probably the most asked question in the world today. Let's have a short prayer and then we'll get into some answering these questions, okay? All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given me to voice this message. And I pray you will give me a good voice, Lord. And I pray that the hearer of the message, Lord, will understand what is being said. And, Lord, when all is said and done, I pray, Lord, that you will get the glory. For I ask it in the wonderful name of my dear Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, allow me to answer the last question first. Can I lose my salvation? Can I lose my salvation? Okay. By the way, the title of my message is Eternal Eternity. Have you got that? Eternal Eternity. Now, if a genuine census could be taken on the subject of salvation lost, it would undoubtedly return inconclusive. Inconclusive. And it would, because of the inclusiveness, the chances are that you were never saved, to begin with. You see, when a person wonders if they can lose their salvation, maybe they better check it out first. But anyway, as you'll find out as we go along, you cannot lose your salvation. And because of this, well, chances are you, like I said, you were never saved to begin with, if you think you can. Never saved. Ooh, that hurts. You can say, well, I know I was saved. I walked an aisle. I did this. I prayed to God. Well, really? Well, let's go a step further, okay? Oh, you may have walked a church aisle or wept at your bedside, but far back in the inner reaches of your mind remains a tiny, ever so tiny speck of doubt. A doubt that will haunt you until the day the Lord returns. You know, there are people walking around that are truly saved, and still they're wondering, worrying maybe a little, when Jesus returns, will he come and pick them up? Will they go to be with him? Well, let's continue anyway. We all have a certain seed of doubt. We all do. Depending on our lifestyle. Okay? Now, here's why we have that seed of doubt. Are you listening carefully? Please listen carefully. Too many of us tend to believe that salvation, if it is real, must be accompanied by some type of fireworks or spiritual enlightenment. Oh yes, they do. Yes, it does happen to some of us, perhaps. But God is waiting for a change of heart. A change of heart. A change of heart that will lead to a change of mind. You see, it's the heart that has precedent over the mind. What's in the heart will come out, not only out of your mouth, but in your mind, will go into your mind. A change of mind will lead to a change of lifestyle. Lifestyle and, of course, direction. Direction. Do you know that all God's people are chosen? Did you know that? You might say, well, maybe I wasn't chosen. Well, if you give your life over to Christ, if you repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and mean it, then you were chosen. Or else you wouldn't do it. See, God looks upon the heart, and He knows if you're trying to get around, trying to fool. I mean, you can't fool God. No way, you can't. Well, if God chooses who will be saved, then I have a choice. Is that what you're thinking? Wrong. Wrong. Let's get into some of God's foreknowledge. Okay, can we go back that far? Well, the Bible talks about it. Okay, let's explore it a bit. So what is foreknowledge? Well, it's knowing something that will happen or come into being in the future. In Ephesians 1, 4 and 5, let's go to Ephesians 1, 4 and 5, okay? Yeah, that's the best thing. Okay, Ephesians 1, 4 and 5, verses 4 and 5, let's read them. According as He hath chosen us in Him, listen carefully now, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Have you got that? Well, you can read it yourself now. If you didn't get it this time, read it over a couple of times. That's Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. You see, God knows the end from our beginning. God knows the end from our beginning, even while we were still in the womb. Even before we were still in the womb. God knows if we will repent and believe in why Jesus went to Calvary. And don't stop there. What God giveth unto man, He giveth through His foreknowledge. Foreknowledge. What God giveth unto a man, He giveth through His foreknowledge, which means knowing in advance. If God thought you could lose your salvation, this is ultra important. If God thought you could lose your salvation, then why bother giving it in the first place? Would our loving God send His only begotten Son to suffer and bleed and die, all the while knowing we would not repent and believe in the gospel? According to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You got it? Have you got it? Well, if you have, you can't lose it. Would He do that? Would He allow His Son to go to the cross? If this were so, then God would be akin to sinful man. And His foreknowledge would be nothing but guesswork, just like ours. And what kind of God is that to serve? Huh? Oh. The whole point is the Lord God knew what we would do before He saved us. He knew way back then, even before we were born. And this includes our backsliding as well. And allow me to say here that backsliding does not cost us our salvation. Have you got that? If you're saved, backsliding cannot cost you your salvation. If this were so, then His elect Israel, backsliding Israel, would also be lost, for sure. Now, if we look in the book of Romans, let's go to Romans here. Romans is a good book. Romans 8. Romans 3. Romans 8. Verses 29 and 30. 29 and 30. Have you got your book open? Well, if not, then just please listen. Romans 8, verses 29 and 30. Now, here we go. For whom He did predestinate, or pardon me, now, these are the words of the Lord. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, them, guess what? He also glorified. Okay? Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Called, justified, glorified. Amen, amen, amen. I hope that sunk in a bit. See, God knows. God knows more than you think you know, or me. He knew before His creation what it was going to look like, and He knew what you were going to do, whether you were going to believe in Him or not. That might sound unfair to you, right? You say, well, I might never get a chance. Well, God knows. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to believe in Jesus Christ, His Son. He wants this. You know, a lot of people can't seem to get past called. Called. C-A-L-L-E-D. Let alone glorified. Well, this is where faith really kicks in. You got that? The hymn writer wrote it just the way it is. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. You must know that hymn if you're a Christian, or you think you're a Christian, if you've gone to church. That's one of the songs that are sung quite often. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Now, what is faith, you may ask? Well, the Bible tells us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Born again. Born from above. From above. If this be so, it is not possible to be lost. Now that's a very important statement. People who think they can lose their salvation, well, if you're born again from above, you cannot. It's impossible to be lost. You are given eternal life. Over in John 10, verse 28, we read, I give unto them, what? Eternal life. And they shall never perish. Never. Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The key word is never, of course. Never means never. Does it mean never in your vocabulary, or does it mean, well, perhaps, or someday? No, never to God means never. Never can they be plucked out of God's hand. I talk to a lot of people, who have a great difficulty grasping this important truth. They'd sooner believe only in the tangible things of life that you can feel, you know, you can touch, you can see. The tangible things of life. And I say unto them, hellfire is tangible. You will feel it. Oh, yes. If you crave for the tangible things in life, well, I hate to say this, but you will never see heaven's glory. See, God did not give life so it could be taken away. No, not at all. He gave us life to live for Him, our great God and Savior of the universe. Come on to me and I will nowise cast you out. He gave us life to live for Him. Once we become a Christian, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Have you got it? And we are sealed. We are sealed. You know how you seal an envelope? Well, you make it damp and then it sticks together, right? But we are sealed, in a manner of speaking, until the day of redemption, as the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside us. Wow. I don't know about you, but that's great. I love it. If a Christian can be lost again, then Christ is lost with him. Have you got that? If a Christian can be lost again, then Christ is lost with him. Since he, Christ, made the Christian part of his own body. Part of his own body. As Christians, we are complete in Christ. Complete in Christ. Colossians 2, verse 10. How are we saved, you ask? Well, if you need to ask, then you obviously don't know. We are saved by grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Read it when you get a chance. For by grace are ye saved, through faith. And that not of yourself... Excuse me, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Lest any man should boast. You know, I'm afraid there are many precious souls walking around with a heavenly attitude, but have not surrendered to the cross. Oh, you have my sympathy. They are like candles in the wind. They have tasted of the heavenly gift, but have not consumed it. They stand on their soapbox of pride, but never succumb to the fullness of the crucifixion. They are like extra spikes in the body of Christ. They are stumbling blocks before the cause of salvation. Oh, yes. Before the cause of salvation. If your salvation is really real, then you are a part of the body of Christ. Have you got that? If it's real, then you become a part of the body of Christ. Ephesians 5, verse 20. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For those of you who cleave only to the spiritual, well, I suggest you think hard about Ephesians 5:30. Think real hard. Therefore, if a Christian can be lost again, then Christ is lost with him. Did you hear that? If a Christian can be lost again, then Christ is lost with him, because you are a part of his flesh, a part of his bones, a part of his body. Okay? Now, since he made the Christian part of his own body, a body that is without spot or wrinkle, then take heed, people. This is not just some figure of speech, as some would think, maybe even ponder deeply. But in the true sense of the word, let us go back to Genesis 2:23. Genesis 2:23, when God had taken Adam's rib and made woman. And Adam said, "This, the woman, is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. They two shall be one flesh." One! Sad to say, unthinkable amidst womankind today, even unbearable amid the soaring women's liberation. Thus, a major stumbling block when it comes to salvation. Ladies, oh, ladies, I almost mourn for you. How can you not accept what God's Word says you must do in order to be saved? How can you just forego it and get on with your life? Try to be like a man. God made you different than man. Not alike. You don't serve the same purpose as the man. Consider this. Like I said, if a Christian can ever be lost again, then Christ is lost with him. And that includes you, ladies. Since he made the Christian part of his own body. This is not heresy, people. This is literal stuff from the Word of Almighty God. From Almighty God. When the thought of losing one's salvation strikes you, I would urge you to consider what the Word of God has to say. Really consider it. Since we are a part of the body of Jesus Christ, if we are truly saved, how foolish then to think that we can diminish his body by trying to take away from it. Diminish his body by trying to take away from it. Let us go to Colossians 2:10. Colossians 2:10, read it yourself. Listen carefully. "And ye are complete in him," in Jesus, "which is the head of all principality and power." Have they got that? "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Now, can the complete work of Christ be lost? No! Once saved, always saved. Always saved, people. Once saved. Christ cannot deny himself. He can't. It's impossible. I have never heard of a Christian who, even at one time in their life, has not given thought to losing their salvation. Not one time in their life. I mean, let's face it. We either believe in the Word of God or we don't. It's time to stop the humming and the hawing. Is God a liar? Heaven forbid. Let God be true and every man a liar. Have you read John 6:37 lately? In the words of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, to his disciples, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." I will in no wise cast out. You can't lose it, because he won't cast you out. Are you prepared to call Christ a liar? Well, I say to you, let God be true and every man a liar. All that the Father giveth me. Wait a minute now. Jesus is saying, all that the Father giveth him, he will not cast out. Right? Then someone in the back row spoke up and said, what do you mean, all that the Father giveth me? Well, that thought, I thought rather, it was us who gave ourselves to Christ, not the Father, that they would be saved. I mean, don't we have to repent and believe in what happened at Calvary? Exactly. Exactly. What Jesus meant goes back to God the Father's foreknowledge. God knew who would repent, who would believe, because God knows the end. Have you got that? God knows the end from the beginning. The end from the beginning. Now, isn't that something? Do you know the end from the beginning? Now, you might think you do. Are you that smart? Or are you trying to play some funny game and fool people? Oh, I know what's going to happen. Oh, yeah, this is going to happen, you know. I mean, that stuff you read in the Bible, well, take it with a grain of salt. But come on, let's face it. Let's be real. You know, do you know what eternity means? Do you? Look that up in the dictionary. Means the same thing, right? It's just a play on words. Eternal eternity. Well, I want to thank you for listening. I pray the words that were spoken here today will find lodging in your heart, and that you'll pass them on to others, or better still, ask them to tune in to Just Jesus Radio and hear the message. Or go to my website, battlesightforchristtillhecomes.net, and you'll find it listed there as well. May God bless you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.